Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Yes, you are.
And who are you?
I am Puma. It's so hard. You know, we do these podcasts and the intro is always so, I don't know. It just, my personality is one. I don't like doing the same thing the same way all the time. So I never mow my yard the same way every time. It's, you know, I do different directions, start different places. I just, not that I'm a random person. It's just I have a hard time just doing the same thing. So, welcome to the Puma Podcast. Yeah. I'm Puma.
And I'm still Tori.
You're still Tori. Yeah, we are so glad that you joined us today. We are actually in our series on the names of God. Yeah, so Tori, what do you remember our theme verse for this?
Yeah, Psalm 9:10, and that says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Yeah, those who know your name will trust in you. And we've talked about this in previous podcasts and just this whole concept of trust. I mean, relationships are built on trust. Trust is sort of the currency of relationships between husband and wife, parent, child, employer, employee, between neighbors, just between friends. And the more you know someone and you trust them, the more you're willing to move in their direction. And this is what Psalm 9:10 tells us. Those who know your name, there's something about the name of God that communicates who he is, that and in such a unique way that would cause us to move toward him, to trust him. And he says, he promises there that he never forsakes or never gives up on or never abandons or never gets rid of those who seek him, which is amazing. Yeah, truly amazing. So we're glad you joined us today. We've shared several names of God so far. You know, we can go over just a few of them. Just a quick review. You know, names tell us about a person's character, identity. It's a marker. It's a statement about them.
Yeah, it shows a hat to wear, the kind of things you do, the people you're connected with. And our first name several weeks ago was really God's personal nickname. It is Yahweh, right? That God came to Moses and said, "I am who I am. I am Yahweh." And that is the intimate, not so lofty and, you know, almighty powerful, but I am Yahweh who comes down to you.
Yeah, God really wanted us to know that he wants us to know him. You see, when you share your name with someone, you're actually inviting someone into a relationship.
Yeah.
And so back in Exodus 3, when Moses burning bush, the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, the name by which I am to be called and remembered by you and by, you know, my people forever is Yahweh. And he was very much saying, I desire a relationship with you. I want you to know me.
Yeah.
So the second name that we talked
about.
Yeah,
the second was Jehovah Rohi, and that was the Lord is my shepherd. That he's the one who guides. He's the one who really protects too, but really he's the one that provides for sheep.
Yeah, the idea of a shepherd who takes care of sheep. And, you know, we talked about just kind of that whole picture. But, you know, one of the things that God really wants us to understand and know is that God is saying, follow me, right? Everyone follows someone or something.
True.
And God says, I am the good shepherd. Follow me. I'm Jehovah Rohi. I'm the one that leads you beside still waters. I'm the one that takes care of you. So follow me. What was the third one that we talked about so far?
Yeah, the third one was one of my favorites, but it's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And that wasn't, we talked too, that wasn't just physical, but that's emotional, that's spiritual, it's mental. It's total healing, restoration.
Yeah, total healing. Yeah, so everyone goes through emotional pain, physical pain, all kinds of pains in life. And one of the things with, you know, this name of God, Jehovah Rapha, that God is calling us in a way that's saying, hey, come to me to heal your hurts and your pains. Come to me for your physical hurts. Come to me for your emotional hurts. Come to me for your relational hurts. But ultimately, come to me for your spiritual hurt. For that which is of most significance, that which needs to be healed, I alone can make that right.
Yeah.
God's saying, come to me. You know, come to me to be healed. Yep.
Yeah, and the last one that we talked about was just last week, is Jehovah Sekenu. And I love, this is just a fun one. I love silent T's anyway, but Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness.
Yeah, the Lord our righteousness, you know, and God, you know, he's saying, I want you to be righteous so that you can be in right relationship with me. Because we know, I mean, if we're honest, that, you know, I am not righteous, pure, perfect, and holy. But the Lord said, you know, one of the names that I will be called is the Lord, our righteousness. And I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. We had talked about that where, you know, Paul wrote, he who had no sin, talking about Jesus, became sin for us so that in him, in Christ, we can become and we are the righteousness of God. The Lord wants that relationship with us so bad that he is the one that is willing to provide the righteousness that we need so we can relate to him, which is amazing. Yeah, the names of God, there's so many. We're going to do a new one today. And it really, all the different names of God that we're talking about are all born out of a Old Testament or New Testament story or situation where God deals with people.
Yeah, they're very much situational. There's something that happens, and this new name is introduced, whether it's given or it's declared.
Right, given or declared. And so today, in the Old Testament, there's a man named Abraham, and God had told Abraham to do something which I find even still like something impossible. I mean, if God were to ask me this, I don't think I could do it. You know, and what God told Abraham, he said, take your son Isaac, the son of promise. I want you to take him to the place that I will tell you about. And there I want you to sacrifice him, kill him, and sacrifice him to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm a father. Tori, you're my son. And Tori, now you're going to be a father. You have a little son.
Yep.
And I just can't comprehend that. So why would God, what is God doing? What is he trying to teach? What is he trying to, you know, for Abraham, for Isaac, for us? Because there is something incredible here that I think we all need, but it is really, it takes some spiritual eyesight to see.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. All right, Puma, you're right. This is a crazy story. And based on the title, right? I mean, our audience knows that we're talking about Jehovah Jireh. I mean, they can read the, but what does that mean? And what does that do with this story?
Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, it's really, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide, which is, I think, oh, yeah, well, I like that. Yeah, the Lord will provide.
Sure.
But this particular account in Genesis 22 is just amazing. I mean, it begins where, you know, Isaac is born, and it's probably sometime later, you know, 12, 15 years later. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.
Wow. That sounds like sacrifice your kid. I mean,
yeah, sacrifice your kid as a burnt offering. I mean, we're talking like actual kill him and burn him as a offering back to the Lord.
And this is the same son that not only was promised, but Abraham was what, 100 years old, something like that.
Oh yeah, crazy. This is one that they waited for.
The miracle child.
The miracle child. I mean, when God makes a promise, does he keep his promises?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a promise-keeping God. He doesn't use words idly or make statements just to get our hopes up and then to, you know, kind of pull a rug out from underneath us.
Yeah.
And so he had called Abraham, you know, this man, and said, I will be your God, you and your descendants will be my people. And Abraham was an old man, and God said, from your own seed, from out of you and your wife Sarah, you are going to have a son, and that son will be the son of promise. I promise that your son, and through him, you know, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. I mean,
a massive promise.
Yeah, that's an incredible promise. And now God is saying, I want you to take your son. I want you to go take him up to a mountain. I want you to kill him and burn him and sacrifice him to me.
Wow. that's wild.
It is crazy. And I know a lot of people are like, huh, you know, see, this is why God is so mean in the Old Testament. And this is why, you know, God can't be trusted and all these things.
Bipolar disorder.
Yeah. Why is God, you know, schizophrenic? What's he doing? Is he good? Is he bad? What's going on? Yeah. But I love how this begins. It says, the Lord tested Abraham. Now, what is he testing?
Well, it's got to be his faith. I mean, you know, he's not testing his skill to sacrifice. He's not testing his skill to, I mean, you know, can you travel to a mountain?
Right.
He's testing, will you obey me?
Yeah. Abraham, do you really trust me wholeheartedly to the point where you're willing to demonstrate that trust by obeying what I say, even if it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Now, have we ever been in a situation like that where we read something and it sounds like, God's saying something about life, about me, and it doesn't quite make sense. Am I willing to still go there?
Yeah.
You see, it is hard. See, it is hard to trust someone you don't know.
Right.
It's hard to trust someone that you don't believe in.
Right. Strangers or creepy people, you probably don't want to take their advice and do what they say.
Right. And so who was Yahweh to Abraham? I mean, who was he? Was he really the true living God? Is he really God, or is this just some psychopathic, spiritual something or other just messing with his life?
Yeah, right. Just trying to play games and get in his head. Yeah.
Well, what did Abraham do? Well, it says that he, early the next morning, he got up, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you."
Okay, so, you have this old dude with his son, which he's waited for literally decades, and they go on this, 3-day journey. Like, if God came to me and told me to do something crazy, and to kill the thing that I was promised that I love, and then for 3 days I'm traveling with my son, I mean, what was that like?
You have 3 days where you're thinking about this.
Yeah. These are the last 3 days I have with my son. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, how much would doubt creep in every step that you take, and you're wondering, am I doing the right thing? Is this good or bad? How is this all going to shake out?
Right. Is it the last time I'm with my son, the last hour?
Just craziness. But Abraham says something interesting. He says, "We're going to go up on the mountain, we're going to worship," and then he says, we will come back down. So Abraham, he trusted God so wholeheartedly here that he believed that he and his son were going to come back down the mountain no matter what happened up on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because in the book of Hebrews, the writer Hebrews, talking about the faith of Abraham and other patriarchs in the Old Testament, he says this about Abraham. He says, Abraham so trusted God that he believed that even if Isaac died on top of that mountain, God would raise him back to life. And Abraham believed that. Why? Because God had made a promise to Abraham that through Isaac, that he would have descendants. And so Isaac has to live. God made a promise. Isaac has to live. And yet God says, "I want you to go up to this mountain. I want you to sacrifice your son to me."
Wow.
So Abraham did not know how this was going to shake down, but he had such confidence in the Lord that he knew that he and Isaac were going to come back down that mountain somehow. Some way,
yeah.
God was gonna do the impossible in what He's asking me to do, which would seem impossible.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, we didn't even have, at least Abraham didn't have, the names of God. We didn't have Yahweh. He was just some God that called him out.
He was just the God, the supreme, supreme one. How much that he understood the different. We have God's word, the different names of God. Abraham certainly had a relationship with Yahweh, whether he called him Yahweh or not.
Sure.
But there was certainly a relationship and an understanding and a trust that was there.
Yeah. Well, there had to be. To believe this God who calls you to do this.
Well, and just because we trust and then things work out. So we know that there are times that Abraham didn't trust God, right?
Yes.
I mean, he failed miserably. But he did trust God to wait for Isaac. Right. And God did a miracle, provided Isaac when his wife was barren and past the age of childbearing, that she still had a son. So he's already seen God do miracles. But just because we go through a test and we pass the test, or we trust and we see what God does, that doesn't mean that the next test or the next situation is going to be any easier.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think that, well, it should get easier, but it doesn't. And for Abraham, it certainly didn't get easier, but his trust or faith in the Lord had grown with each situation in his life. And so here he is near the end, with his son, the son of promise. So what happens here? All right. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. Can you imagine? Yeah, a son, I'm old. I can't handle all those. I can't carry the wood. So you're young and strong. You carry the wood. I'll hold the knife and the fire. I mean, it's just, just the picture of that.
Yeah.
And honestly, if Abraham is, I mean, obviously he's not, crippled or anything, but sure. You know, he can take the journey and whatnot, but still he's old. I mean, I honestly, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, who, if they got into a fight, who would win, Isaac or Abraham?
Right.
You know,
we don't know how old Isaac was, but for him to do a 3-day hike.
Yeah.
And no, carry
he's
the
probably,
wood?
You know, probably a, you know, early teenager, but you know, I'm not weak.
Sure.
Right. He's carrying the wood up the mountain. Yeah.
Right.
And so, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father." yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Hmm. And listen to Abraham's answer. This is so amazing. He says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Yeah, I mean, what, you know, as Abraham is taking care of his son, loving his son, I mean, just, you know, what does Abraham want for his son? You know, does he want his son to know Yahweh as well, to know the Lord?
Yeah.
Does he want his son to trust him as well? I mean,
sure.
You know, so just the picture and the lessons going on here. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, saying, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Yeah, just amazing. You see, we come into this world with nothing. We leave this world with nothing. Everything that we have comes from God. It's for God. It's to him. Whether that's my health, my time, you know, my money, my family. Mm-hmm. And that is very, very difficult for us to grasp.
Yeah.
I mean, we think that we're owners. Mm-hmm. We think that everything belongs to us. We have a right to it.
Especially the things that mean the most to us. I mean, of all the possessions Abraham had, what was his favorite, if you can call it a possession? Well, he loves his kid more than he loves his donkeys, than he loves his wealth, income. And that was the thing that was being tested, the thing he loved the most.
I mean, it says right at the beginning, "Take your son, your only son," God says, "Isaac, whom you love." I mean, God knows that Abraham loves his son. And why wouldn't he love his son? I mean, you know, any good parent loves their kid, right? Wants what's best for their kid. They don't want their kid to be hurt or harmed. They want, you know, blessing, you know, for their kid. Yeah, it's just an amazing picture. But when the angel of the Lord says, "Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son," that was the moment where we really see the faith of Abraham, you know, in full bloom, that he is willing to give up everything for the God who is willing to give up everything for Abraham. Mm-hmm. You see, Abraham, like you and I, Tori, was a sinful man.
Yeah.
Abraham, like you and I, deserves death, not just physical, but eternal, eternal death.
Yeah.
And what is amazing is that Abraham recognized that this God, this is the true God. This is the one that can rescue. This is the one that can provide. And so what it says here, Abraham looked up and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, and here is our name of God today, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided."
Wow.
What's interesting is that he doesn't call God Jehovah Jireh. He calls that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. at this place, on this mountain. And this mountain that they went to, it was the mountain that who told them to go there?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord said, go to the region of Moriah and go to the mountain that I will show you. Mm. Now, why this particular mountain? You see, there's so much going on here that God is doing, not just in Abraham and Isaac's life, but also for you and me today. Years and years and years later, this mountain comes back into play, and in the time of David and Solomon. Do you want to read 2 Chronicles there for us?
Yeah, Tony? Yeah. 2 Chronicles 3:1 is kind of a crazy verse, and this Moriah comes up. So it says, then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David.
You see, the very place that Abraham is standing is the very place where Solomon would build the temple of the Lord, the very place in the heart of Jerusalem, on the highest point there in Jerusalem. And that was the very place where God was going to make his dwelling among men in the temple, where God was wanted to be with his people. And that is the very place on Mount Moriah, on that mountain, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, was basically executed by Rome. And we know that Jesus didn't die for himself or for his sin, but he was one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah, God provided freedom. Golgotha is on Mount Moriah, it's that same place. That's where Jesus, provided, not just like you said, for you and me, but for the entire world, the way we could be free from our sin.
You see, Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, on that mountain. And I don't think that Abraham really understood the full implication of that name for that place of the Lord. But that is the very place where God has provided the ultimate provision for you and I and for all people, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, gave his life as a ransom for many, which is just amazing. I mean, this is the very place where the provision for mankind's greatest need was ultimately met. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus on Mount Moriah, the place where the Lord will provide. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing
incredible.
To me.
Yeah. I mean, what is God providing? I mean, this is at the large scale foreshadowing where you have Isaac and you have, Isaac and Abraham, but then you have this really unique story where God tests Abraham and he provides physical safety for his son, but God the Father actually killed his son on this mountain.
Right. I mean, the imagery here is so amazing because when Abraham, God says, your son whom you love, well, God the Father loves the son, Jesus.
Yeah.
God the Father wants what is best for his son. Mm-hmm. And yet at that very place where God told Abraham, sacrifice your son, and yet the Lord provided a substitute for the offering that day on that very place called Jehovah Jireh, that mountain where the Lord will provide, which is the very place where Jesus became the substitute for you and I, that the Lord actually allowed his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Yeah,
It really is an amazing picture that God has this all worked out from the very beginning to the very end. You go to the Revelation chapter 5, and it's a picture of the throne room of heaven. It says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the living creatures. And goes on, it says, they sang a song that you, the lamb, are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then it goes on a little, it says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And everyone praised him, and they praised the Lamb, and they gave glory and they worshiped. They're talking about Jesus there.
Yeah.
The Lamb that was slain. Where was he slain? He was slain on Mount Moriah. What's Mount Moriah? That's the place where God told Abraham to go to sacrifice his son. And that is the place where God provided a substitute. Yeah. A substitute offering, a substitute sacrifice. And that is just an incredible picture of the gift of salvation that God has given to you and I.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that we struggle trusting God to provide physical things.
Yeah.
I mean, just simple physical things.
Right. Well, when we talk about Abraham's faith, I mean, faith for something that you love, you know, that this God is leading you to kill the thing you love, but then scale that way back down. I mean, do we have faith when we go get groceries? Do we have faith when we, you know, spend money? Do we have faith in this relationship? Do we have faith obeying God in the small things? Will God really provide for my needs? I mean, we all have needs, right? I mean, we have, well, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental needs.
Right.
Is God even capable? And when I have needs, do I go to Jehovah Jireh or do I go to other things?
Right. Well, do I really trust God with my life? You know, we say that we use that kind of word. Abraham, really, he was tested with like the ultimate test of trust. Because if God told me, Dory, hey, Puma, I want you to go, to the place. You know, I want you to take Tori. I want you guys to walk for 3 days and to a certain place. And there I want you to put him on an altar and I want you to sacrifice him and burn him as a burnt offering of worship to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Really. I mean, if God said, I want you to give up your son out of worship, out of devotion to me, I would have a hard time with that. I don't know that I can have the faith that Abraham displayed here. But you know, I demonstrate lack of faith for even simpler things, right?
Yeah,
we got financial things. We got spiritual things. Mm-hmm. There are people that I love and care about. God, can you really change them? Do I really trust you that you can, you know, work in their life? Do I really trust that you can help them, you know, in this struggle or in this temptation? I mean, do I really believe that? I mean, when I have issues in my life, I usually try to take matters in my own life, provide for myself. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, even just not just for you, but your family, your friends, your siblings, your parents, you know, they have health needs, you have mental health needs, and you see that they need help. But do I trust God with other people that I love? I mean, that's hard. It's hard to trust God for myself. I think it's even harder to trust God with people that I love that I can't do anything for them. God, will you take care of my spouse? Will you take care of my kids, my family, my friends?
I mean, for Abraham to trust God with his son Isaac, so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this name of God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know, is God really, you know, he's really stating, you know, that he is, you know, the God who is loving and generous, abundant, you know, and it really is a picture of God's caring heart, you know, toward us. You know, he wants to and is able to meet our deepest needs. And he's provided for our greatest need, you know, to rescue us from, you know, the cost and penalty of our sin.
Yeah. Well, what's a good AQ for us today? You know, as we wrap up this beautiful name of God, Jehovah Jireh, what's a good AQ for us and the listeners?
Yeah, well, Jehovah Jireh, it's all about, you know, trust and obey, right? Mm-hmm. Trust and obey. And so honestly, you know, to look at my life or look at our lives, you know, what makes it hard to trust God today to provide what you need? In other words, what is it that I need today? You know, do I have physical needs? Do I have relational needs? Are there spiritual needs in my life or the people that I love? You know, what is stopping me from trusting God with those things?
Yeah. What's the barrier between you fully surrendering your trust and actions to the Lord? And I think how you put that, Puma, what's in the way? What's the barrier? You know, because we all have needs. We all go to people or things to feel like we are provided for to some degree. And if it's not the Lord, why is it not, right? What is getting between you and trusting God fully?
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, if I were Abraham, that story would look very different. And my tendency, temptation is if I have a need in my life, I tend to be very independent and try to meet that need on my own or with my own abilities, my own skill, or my whatever. And oftentimes, sometimes it works out, and that's just by the grace of God. And a lot of times it doesn't. And it's like, God, what are you trying to teach me? You're trying to teach me.
Yeah. Well, I love that God loves us and trusts us enough to even test us. I mean, that there's some belief that I believe you can pass. He won't, you know, give you a test where he knows for sure you will fail. which was part of his grace.
And we didn't really talk a lot about tests, you know, and so, I mean, this podcast is coming to an end, so that's a whole other, you know, podcast, because we think of a test, we always think of negative. Right. Tests just evaluate where we are, because I've taken several tests over again in my life, and I've always done better the second time I've taken the same test.
Right? I can't say the same for me.
Well, theoretically, you know, we should learn from that. But tests just, they just are evaluation tools, really.
Well, yeah. Well, and a good God, a good coach will try to help us improve.
Right.
But, yeah, different podcast for a different time. But yeah, Jehovah Jireh, right? Like the Lord who provides, who will provide, and that trust, to obey him in trust. And I think finances is a really big one, like we mentioned before. But yeah, what's in the way of hindering us from trusting God fully? That's good. Well, thank you, Puma. And thank you guys for joining us. As always, if you have any questions or even comments or thoughts, you know, please feel free to reach us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, guys, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10. Till then, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.